All right, five more sleeps until deadline day. Let's hope they're saving all the action for Monday. It's the Wednesday edition of Hockey Central here on Sportsnet 590 of the Fan, filling in for Jeff Merrick. Of course, I'm Nick Alberga. Joined alongside Justin Bourne and Anthony Stewart, Matt Marchese, Dylan Brown, and Lance Kennedy along for the ride as well. Following a four-game sweep in Winnipeg and Calgary, respectively, the Maple Leafs back home tonight to square off with the suddenly surging Montreal Canadiens in about 30 from now. Sportsnet's Eric Engels will drop by to deliver all the goods. What a Habs debut for Eric Staal on Monday night, the OT winner against the Oilers. Also, the very latest on Carey Price and Brendan Gallagher. As I say, hello to my two co-hosts today. We'll start with you, Borny. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just, you know, enjoying the pleasures of virtual schooling again. Nick, great day. Great day.
What a ride, eh, Stewie?
Yeah, welcome to my world. I've been doing this since September, and gym class is actually the same time during the show. So I hear, if you hear any banging during the next hour, that's the kids doing their high knees upstairs in virtual gym class.
What are you just putting them through calisthenics, the dynamic warm up at lunch?
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing up there.
Oh, good. It's just a befuddling time in this world for sure, guys. But I don't know, and speaking for you guys, I'm just so happy hockey is here to take our minds away from it. From that extent, I know you guys are a bit different, time in life, certainly, kids specifically. But still, when you look at it, just we're in the thick of things, aren't we, here? We get closer to deadline. And I don't know about you guys, Borny, we can lead off with you. Just I don't know what it is about Montreal and Toronto. It gets my blood going a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's special, right? I mean, what the league has been dying for, and I shouldn't say league, but Canadians, Toronto, people from Toronto and Montreal have been waiting for is like for both teams to be good at the same time and these games to matter. It looks like they're both going to be playoff teams, and boy, it's a possibility you might get a Leafs-Habs playoff matchup, so these games feel like they matter more than ever. I'm excited about it for sure, so I'm sure the players are too.
Stewie?
Stewie's doing his dynamic
I think Stewie's
stretching.
In gym class.
Are you on mute, Stewie? Or what's going on over there? Well, he is okay, teacher.
Well, yeah, we'll get Stewie back. And as you heard there in the update, Sheldon Keefe, no concern. That was the quote on Freddie Anderson, Borny. But, you start to tabulate the days here. What's 19 days without seeing Freddie Anderson on the ice with the Maple Leafs?
Is this not the weirdest thing ever? It's so vague. Like, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. It's not like long term, but it's super long term. We don't know when he's coming back. No time frame. I honestly don't know what to make of it. Like, I would understand if it was tied to COVID in some way, like he battling some symptoms or something. But it just being a lower body injury, like my guess is a groin thing that they're just kind of waiting to get better. I got nothing. It feels a little uncomfortable for Leafs fans.
So I know you guys have covered this, and do we have Stewie back? Stewie? Okay, not yet on that front. But I'll ask you this. I know you guys have covered this the last couple of days, Borny, but has your opinion or stance changed as we head closer to next Monday's deadline at 3 p.m. Eastern time in terms of Toronto's crease and if they need to address anything there?
I would say that it's changed over time in that I'm more comfortable with Jack Campbell if they decide to go that way, or if circumstances dictate that they have to go that way. So, that puts me in a position where I feel like one of Campbell or Anderson should be good to go. And I would hate to see them use assets, when they have holes in other places in their roster to get like Linus Ullmark and all of a sudden, Anderson and Campbell are good to go, and Ullmark, who they get at the deadline, doesn't even play for them or something. So I think they just got to roll the dice with the guys they have and hope one of them is healthy enough to go.
And certainly that's a thing as we welcome back Anthony Stewart and Stewie. We were just talking about Toronto's crease. Again, Jack Campbell going tonight against Jake Allen. Of course, Carey Price a bit banged up right now. We'll get the latest with Eric Engels coming up in about 25 from now. But Stewie, how do you view Toronto's crease? As we know, I mean, at this point, I think I would say Jack Campbell is probably day-to-day, right? He's obviously dealing with something too. They have Hutchinson behind him. And of course, you have the deadline, less than a week away here.
Yeah, well, we're not really on the inside of what's going on with the medical staff and stuff with what's going on with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we don't really know how banged up Freddie is or Jack Campbell is. But it's got to be a cause for concern now where Jack Campbell has yet to play back-to-back games. After every start, he's got to take a rest day, and Freddie's been out for a couple weeks now. So is that the one position where you just want to chance it going into the playoffs where the team is poised to make a serious, serious run? So, yeah, do you go out and get a Darcy Kemper and leverage all these assets and picks and players? No, but if you can get a guy that can come in and do the job, a solid, solid number three, a guy that can step in and not play spectacular but just solid, I think you have to make that move, because this team is, we're not talking about winning a round. This team is poised, and you know the expectations is that you're coming out of this North Division and going into that third round as favorites.
Yeah, and that's a great, the best point you can make, certainly, I think, because you don't want to lose this season, if you want to call it that, on goaltending, right? We didn't think it was a major league concern, obviously, going into this season. Like, Freddie Anderson's had his struggles, but for the most part, he's been a pretty decent number one goaltender the last couple of years for this Leafs team. But in the current state, I think you better be careful with the way you position yourself, for sure. Like, this run has been great, Borny, for Jack Campbell, but eventually he's going to lose a game. I mean, you can't go perfect in a season, as we know, and there's going to be some ups and downs to his game. But I think if anything we learned from the bubble last year, and Colorado will tell you specifically, you better find some depth in between the pipes, right?
Yeah, no, it is an important place. It's just like, if you're going to go out and get someone who's not a starting goalie, like to Stewie's point, like about Darcy Kemper or something, if you can do that, unbelievable. You know, I think that's something you'd want to do anyway. But like, other than getting a starting goaltender, you know, Michael Hutchinson has proven himself at least to be, you know, someone you would consider one of between the 60th best and 90th best goalies in the world, which is like a third stringer. I don't know if you're going to get anyone that's that much better or that much different in that spot. I don't know. It's pretty inconsequential who you get if you're starting your third stringer in either way.
That's true. I think you're going to be in trouble either way if you have to resort to that. So that's a really, really excellent point at that. Again, it's the Leafs and Habs tonight. Leafs Nation pregame with yours truly and Gord Stellick going at 7. Stewie, I think you made this point a lot throughout this season, and I tend to agree with you for the first time ever, that I think Montreal is the more difficult of the opponent for Toronto. You got to beat everybody in the playoffs, but what do you think of Montreal now that, you know, they add Eric Staal? I get it, you know, the debut coming off the quarantine scores the OT winner, but I just have this feeling, this sense that Montreal could be a very difficult outcome the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, and say what you want about Carey Price. You know, he's a different animal in the playoffs. And until he really loses a round or stinks it up in the playoffs, you got to consider him one of the top goalies in the league. And we saw what he did last year against the Pittsburgh Penguins, where he stood on their head, and essentially he was the reason why they beat Pittsburgh in that opening round too. But I love this Staal addition. That's why, you know, I started the rumor that he was coming to the North Division, because he is a player that every one of these teams in this division needs, a guy that's battle-tested, a guy that's playoff-tested. And just his game, it's not spectacular. You know, he's heavy on the walls. He knows how to make a quick play. But at the big moment, he steps up. I've played with him, and he's one of those guys that's going to score one of those overtime winners in the third overtime. He's a champion, and he's a guy that's motivated now to prove that he can still play in the league. So that's a great addition. You have Corey Perry, and then now, you know, with players like Suzuki and Kotkaniemi last year, who got that playoff experience, they're not a pushover. They're not a pushover, too. So that Montreal team, I'd be very, very afraid of them in the playoffs as opposed to an Edmonton or a Winnipeg in that first round for the Leafs.
Borny, last word on Montreal here?
Yeah, their depth is a real strength for them. I'm curious to see what they decide to do with the deadline here. You know, Bergevin had talked about not being sort of trusting their depth and not looking to do too much, and all of a sudden the Staal thing happens, and you know, you look at their spot in the standings, like they beat Winnipeg tonight, all of a sudden they're climbing up and things get really interesting about where it is they're going to finish in the division. So I can see them making another add, probably someone in their middle six most likely, and if not that, there are options on the back end that could help them as well. So I don't think they're done. I think they're going to add one more player.
And I'll tell you, as somebody who was born in Montreal, I could tell you the Cole Caulfield conversation is getting louder and louder already, especially with the news to Brendan Gallagher. Fractured thumb will be out for a while. They're not saying season ending at this point in time. And certainly that could be a huge addition.
Weren't you chirping him on Twitter yesterday? Weren't you chirping him on Twitter
everybody.
Yesterday saying he couldn't even crack the Laval lineup? Was that your tweet or something?
No,
it
wasn't.
Was that you or someone else?
No, okay. An imposter, Nick Alberger. Like, Caulfield's legit, guys. I just think you got to be careful with kids.
Eugene Levy.
Yeah, exactly. It was Eugene Levy. He's got the same eyebrows and everything. No, but I think I don't know where you guys stand on this, but like, I just don't like how Anaheim's handled Trevor Zegras this season. I was laughing, still laughing at that tweet. Like, I love the transparency, but to say you're transitioning this guy, you've played him at center already there, but they're transitioning in the center, so they got to send him back to the AHL after calling him up at a weird time. It's very, very fishy. So I know Montreal is, you know, feeling good about life. They're likely going to be a playoff team, but maybe we can get your opinions on how you handle young players, especially coming out of the NCAA, especially in a season like this one, right, guys?
It's a weird year, right? Like, there's not, you know, because the leagues aren't all set up, it's not as simple as it's been in the past. And so some guys have benefited from this. You know, I think of Quinton Byfield, a guy who played in the AHL, I think, before he would have been able to in
exactly.
a normal season. And it's been the best thing for his development. He's been great there. And that's mm-hmm. what you want to see from a guy like him. And so, you know, Zegras is an interesting story. There's no reason for the Ducks to be rushing him along. And if they felt like he didn't look the part in the NHL, maybe it is more valuable for him to get more ice time and more a bigger role in the American League. So, yeah, it is. Do you think, Nick, that they should have left him down there and let him sort it out there?
Yeah, and I think you make a great point, because it is one of those weird, weird, odd seasons for sure. But I just, you know, the timing of that, the timing of the Drysdale addition to that lineup as well, I just think, you know, teams are at different parts, and I think it would make more sense for Montreal to take a look at Cole Caulfield than it was for Anaheim. And I'm not saying they rushed Zegras. I've watched a lot of the games. Like, he's a phenomenal skater, phenomenal talent, coming off a great World Junior, but it was just very, very curious, and it raised these bushy eyebrows for sure. But I want to get your opinions as well, guys. Edmonton and Ottawa, and just, again, it's such a weird, weird time and a weird season, but just we were looking forward to seeing how this North Division would shake out. Ottawa just doesn't want to see Edmonton anymore, guys. The Oilers, a perfect 7-0 on the season against the Ottawa Senators, and congrats, Marcus Hoberg. You come back tonight, first appearance since February 18th, lower body injury, and you have to deal with probably an annoyed Connor McDavid. We put out the numbers the other day, but McDavid and Drysdale, I think, just four combined points, four assists in five games against Montreal this season, Stewie.
Yeah, and so what were we going with this question here? What were you saying?
Yeah. So Edmonton, Ottawa tonight.
Yeah, so with the Ottawa Senators, and I try to compare them to the Buffalo Sabres, but I want to use the Ottawa Senators as sort of in a positive light, and they could easily be down and out and in the dumps like the Buffalo Sabres, but they have no quit. DJ Smith has those guys buying in, and they think they have every opportunity to win every single game from the puck drop, because they just continually work and work and work. So they have that team culture, and I say to everybody, and you know, we saw the tweets from Mathot saying that in a couple of years they're going to be as good as the Leafs. They may very well be, because they're going to get this talent as the years go along, and guys like Tkachuk are going to develop, Shabbat are going to develop into top guys. And now that they have that culture that they're starting to get into this organization, that's going to help them in the long run. So they're not there yet, but they're a couple of years away, but they're going to be a great, great team. So they're going through their growing pains now, but with these Ottawa Senators team, they have a chance to win every night, at least in the first period, but that's not for a lack of effort.
They just got to figure out this Oilers team here, you know. I think they. I am curious to see what they kind of what their pushback is tonight, because like, they don't have any answers for the top heavy Oilers. As much as they have been good against good teams, for whatever reason, they just can't figure out this formula. I don't know why it's going to be any different. Like, generally, I don't believe one team in the NHL can beat any team in the NHL three straight times without some hiccups. But four, five, six, seven now. Like, Ottawa's got to win one, don't they? One
you would
time?
Think, from a betting
and all the
point
talk,
of view.
And all the talk is, Nick, is... Yeah. You know, of all these teams, you know, Winnipeg needs a D, Toronto needs some depth. What's Montreal going to do? How come no one's really mentioning the Edmonton Oilers? And we were talking to Spector yesterday, and he was mentioning, oh, they're going to stay put. But they need some guys that can put the puck in the net, some guys that can play with Draisaitl so he doesn't have to be stuck on a line with McDavid. So they need some guys, especially on the wing, that can step in and put up some points. So I don't understand why there's no talk of them saying, well, they need to go out and get some players at the deadline as well. And they're saying, well, in a couple of years, they'll be contenders. I'm like, with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, you need to be contenders every single year or they're going to be on the first plane out of town.
Yeah, 1,000% with you. Like, I think every year that goes by, these guys are not winning in the playoffs. It's another lost year, and I would love to see the Oilers add. Again, they haven't been linked to the big names, but who knows? And certainly Ken Holland wants to believe in the process, and I think he's done a pretty decent job there so far. They're going to free up some money, but I'm with Stu on this one where I think you have to give it to those guys for how incredible they are, that you got to go for it sometimes. I mean, I know it's different, but Pittsburgh and Jim Rutherford always went for it with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and understandably so when you have the future Hall of Famers they have on that roster. And guys, you look at last night. I mean, there's just an abundance of storylines that we can jump into. I just love the fact that Buffalo is suddenly starting to cook, 3-0-2 over the last five. Dahlin and Mittelstadt, a goal and an assist in that win over New Jersey. The New York Rangers, guys, I'm curious to see where you sit on this team. I think they're clearly running out of racetrack. They are now tied with the Philadelphia Flyers, who lose to the Boston Bruins yesterday. But that team's going to be a juggernaut, Borny. Imagine if they get Jack Eichel at some point in time, too.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Guys, sorry, one sec. I got to go.
No problem. 2021, folks. Stewie, what did you make of last night? Like, I think you look at the Rangers and certainly, you know, you got to be careful, right? Because there's less pressure on this team right now, and their first half was dreadful, dealt with a lot. And of course, the news coming out today that the Rangers canceled practice because they're getting vaccinated.
Yeah, well, that's good that they're being transparent and players are stepping up to say, hey, you know what? We're trying to get ahead of this virus here and get back to playing hockey too. But again, they had a lot of adversity with the Tony DeAngelo stuff. And, you know, they had some young guys not really pan out. Capo Caco's struggling a little bit too, but Panarin too. So the fans don't really want to hear it. But it's just tough where this pandemic has just sort of affected some teams where you don't really know where they are. And this New York Ranger team, if they're in their normal division, I think they have a better showing than they do in this tough division that they are in now, too. So they have had some growing pains, some goaltending issues as well. So for me, I think they're a team of the future now. But like Zibanejad, he had an awful start of the year, too, where people are like, did the Monstars take his power? But I think in a couple of years, they'll definitely be a contender because, you know, they're strong up the middle. They have some good young defense. Defenseman ready to step up. Adam Fox is playing amazing this year too. People are saying, is he going to be in the Norris conversation? I think I saw you tweet about that. I'm not too sure if he's there yet, but he's almost at a point of game as well too. And Keandre Miller, he's getting better every single game on the defensive end too. So the future's bright, definitely, with the Rangers.
Yeah, suddenly there's a lot of depth with that team. Vitali Kravtsov, another first-round pick, playing on their third line right now. Panarin gets 1-3. You know, you can't say every player is worth the money, but I think what Panarin's offered to the Rangers, exactly what they wanted. Borny, the first time in 11 years that eight different Rangers scored a goal in a game last night, and then they got the cherry on top, Igor Shesterkin, right?
Yeah, they're unbelievable. I saw your tweet earlier today that they've scored 89 times in their last 25 games. Yeah. You know, just looking at the best offenses around the NHL, I think Tampa Bay is scoring at a 3.61 goals for per game clip. The Rangers' last 25 games, they're just under that, around 3.5. So pretty impressive run on the offensive side of things, and certainly you can see the makings of a team that's going to be dangerous in future years.
Absolute juggernaut, now up to 93. That was halfway through last night's game when I put that stat out.
Oh, wow.
And they just continue to rip up the state of Pennsylvania at that. Curious to get your thoughts as well, guys, and Stewie and Borny, excuse me. We'll start with you. The Boston Bruins, right? Jeremy Swayman, the rookie, makes his debut, 40 saves. I thought he was incredible, especially in the second period. And I can't say enough great things about the vets on that Boston roster. It goes without saying. But Patrice Bergeron had the gaffe on Monday, comes back, gets a Hattie. Brad Marchand was a monster last night, a shorthanded goal. But the Bruins, you know, they're likely going to be carried by these two big boys if they're going to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. No Charlie McAvoy last night, too.
Yeah, surely they're going to have to make an ad, score some goals is all right. Like, if this is a team that throws in Kyle Palmieri or Taylor Hall, like, it's impossible to look at that group, the players you mentioned, those veteran guys, and think that some team's going to, you know, make them an easy out in the playoffs. So there's flawed teams in that East Division. I love the Islanders, of course, and they're looking good. But, like, no, there's no team you look at and say that's Colorado or that's Tampa Bay for me. So, Boston with an ad can once again be dangerous as they have in the past.
Yeah, but I'm watching that game against Pittsburgh on, I think it was Saturday.
Yeah.
And they can just turn the offense on like nobody's business. I think they had a couple segments where they scored two goals in a minute or a minute and a half, and the power play's clicking, you know, as well too. So is it offense that they need? I know they've been up and down all year, but that top line there is one of the top lines in hockey too. So maybe I know they could add a winger here or there, but I'm looking at possibly a little bit more depth on D. You know, they lost Char last year as well too, so I think a little bit more depth, but goaltending's been a little shaky as well from the games that I've seen this far for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, and especially again with no McAvoy last night, they don't have Rask, they don't have Halak, they got Vladar, and they've got Swayman, the rookie, who was outstanding again in his first NHL game last night. The Islanders win 1-0 against the Washington Capitals. That battle for first in the that division is going to be so, so intriguing. Brock Nelson scores the game-winning goal. Varlamov, the 29-save shutout. And, guys, the Islanders are 16-1-2 at home. I think home ice, and, you know, I'm curious to get your opinions, and Stewie, you can start with you. Will home ice be different in the playoffs in the States as opposed to Canada, if, you know, obviously with fans?
Well, for me, I think it's better for especially guys with families to be at home, especially during the pandemic, because, usually the road is great. You like getting away from the family, and you go to restaurants, and, you go for appetizers and happy hour, but now you're stuck in your hotel room. So just the mental health aspect of every time you're away from the rink on the road, you have to be in your hotel, and there's only so much Netflix you can watch and so many video games you can play. You got to be out living life, right? So I think the home ice advantage will have that point, because you're in your own bed, you have your own home routine, going to the rink, coming back, spending time with some family. So I think for the road teams this year, especially in the playoffs, I think it's going to be very, very difficult if we get into bubbles, because now they're talking about bubbles as well.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah. Borny, give me a wild card name that the Islanders could add. I know nobody can get into the minds of Lou Lamoriello, but they're going to add at least a forward, right?
Yeah, everyone wants to hear the big names, right? You want to hear Taylor Hall's going to go there and provide some offense and be dynamic for them. It's, not impossible, but I think anyone who has a reasonably high cap hit that has value right now, like the Islanders suddenly are one of the teams that can do something. So, I really like their defense. I can't see them making an ad there. So, who are the big names up front? Is Palmieri a guy who, they're fighting with Boston to get him to come to Long Island? Either way, I think it's going to be one of the top offensive guys heading that way.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a two-way guy at that. Of course, their big pickup at last year's deadline was J.G. Pageau, who right away they re-signed and brought back long-term with the New York Islanders. And so far, good returns on that file. Speaking about good returns, where do you guys sit in Alexander Barkov? I know Florida loses last night. The five-game win streak is over. Great come-from-behind victory for Carolina, now 2-0 with Peter Mrazek back in the lineup. And those two teams are going to be scary come playoff time. And very curious to see on both fronts what, and if they do add, and they should add, coming up at the deadline. But where do you guys stand on Alexander Barkov in terms of the heart conversation? Stewie, we can start with you.
Well, we've been pro North Division, but the headlines every time you click on sportsnet.ca, you always see Barkov's name mentioned. So that means he's outperforming his area code, but he's just amazing. Yeah. Just seeing his speed and just seeing what he can do with the puck. We had Red Deer Randy Moeller on the show last night, and he was just saying watching him in practice, just the things that he does on a day-to-day basis. And my main concern with the Florida Panthers of year past was that elbow room effect and, guys living on the beach and guys golfing, but I think they've really reset that culture and having guys like Barkov and Huberdeau, guys that are very, very serious about the game coming in, because it's a great place to play, especially when you're winning. So I think with him, he's got the 42 points in 34 games, but the headlines seem to be trending towards him. So he's definitely in this heart conversation for sure.
It would be great to have him, you know, play for the Calgary Flames or something.
I know.
And, you know,
Montreal. Imagine him
on
Montreal.
Montreal. Yeah, wow. Like let him get that press. Let people see what he really does on a nightly basis. Just such a horse, so much skill, and brings it every night. So he is one of the guys, and, you know, I have my handful of guys that, like, I stop at a game to make sure I get some viewings into him. Barkov is must-see TV.
And lastly, shout out to friend of the program, Zach Dalpy. Guys, I love this story. First NHL goal since October 20th, 2016. 1,630 days between goals. And the Selly, I don't know if you guys caught it. It was great at that. What a great story. I love those ones.
Yeah, the Delp doctor is a good buddy of mine from the Carolina days, and we had a lot of wine. He was a rookie, and my place with the young guys was to always have them over, you know, welcome them to the NHL, and we had a lot of steaks and wine at my place too. So it's good to see him get some success, and that just shows now a lot of guys after a couple of years of adversity of going up and down, they jump ship and go to Europe. But here's a guy that, you know, he loves playing in North America. You know, he loves the opportunity to play in the National Hockey League, and it's good to see that he's getting it now in his four games with Columbus this year.
Stu, you guys drink good wine or just cheap wine?
No, but that's in the NHL. It was in the good wine. It was the good wine, absolutely. We're drinking the top shelf. But when I was in the minors, we were drinking the Yellowtail. Me and Colton Yellowhorn, just 12 bottles of that Yellowtail Shiraz.
Like, just the bright red teeth.
Stains your teeth for about 6 days. You got to wear a mouth guard so the coaches don't see about your teeth.
Yeah, that's a tough one to pan off the next day at practice. Halls on the breath isn't covering up the teeth stains.
Oh, we need a podcast. Like an unfiltered podcast for this type of stuff, guys. We're going to hit the break. Again, coming up on the other side, we'll continue to tee up the Montreal Canadiens visiting the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight at Scotiabank Arena. Again, Jake Allen starting in that game. Carey Price is banged up. No Brendan Gallagher. And, of course, Jack Campbell going for the Maple Leafs. Eric Engel, Sportsnet's Eric Engel, is dropping by after this short break. It's Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart. This is Hockey Central here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, tonight from Scotiabank Arena, it's round 5 of 10 between the Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. Of course, Toronto is riding high right now. They've won 4 in a row and 7 of 8, an 8-game point streak. This is Hockey Central. Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart with you. Of course, Montreal 3-1-0 following their COVID break. And again, no Carey Price in this game, no Brendan Gallagher, as we know, banged up with the fractured thumb. But Eric Staal makes his debut on Monday, scores the OT winner for the Montreal Canadiens against the Edmonton Oilers as we welcome in Sportsnet's Eric Engel to tee this one up for tonight. Eric, thanks so much for taking the time today. Great to be with you. And what an unbelievable start to Eric Staal's career with the Habs on Monday, eh?
Sorry, Nick. I got stuck on 5 of 10. Like, 10 games. I know. Between teams. It's like we didn't make enough of a big deal out of this. I remember texting a player out in Winnipeg and being like, well, you know, at least you don't have to play Columbus 10 times. So he said, well, we still have Calgary 10 times. So it's you don't think about it that much, but it's really crazy that these teams are going to lock up that much. And there's a possibility that we could see them in the playoffs play against each other for the first time since 1979, which I don't know about you guys, but that would be pretty exciting for me. You asked about Staal, good debut. Probably unheralded to a degree, because if he hadn't scored that overtime winner, I'm not sure what would have been said about him. But he played most of his shifts against Connor McDavid at 5-on-5 and did a great job, you know, staying above him, which is not an easy task from a defensive standpoint. And, you know, really simple, smart, positionally sound, as you would expect from a 36-year-old triple gold club member.
Eric, I thought we'd take it to the trade deadline here and your thoughts on what the Montreal Canadiens may do, may not do. What's the status? What's the state of affairs in Montreal right now?
Warren, I thought you'd ask me about the Masters first, but I'll give you the answer.
There's time for that, buddy.
There's Twitter account for that.
Yeah, no. You know what? I think a lot of people are looking at Bergevin saying, you know, he's done so much already. There's no reason to stop now. It's really going to depend on what's available. And that might be a bit of a boring answer, not necessarily the one you're looking for, but I don't think Marc Bergevin is looking to add just to add. You know, he has a need or a want on defense, but it's not just to get another body there and have the depth on the blue line where they've got so many bodies. They would love to acquire someone that pushes everyone down. particularly on the left side, potentially a partner for Shea Weber. And you have the quality of Edmondson and Sherratt and Kulak on the left side already, and you're moving guys around and down. But it's not just going to be to make a move for the sake of making a move here. So if he ends up doing nothing, he's said several times he likes his team. And I think that's really based on the fact that he actually does, but also, you know, what the availability is on market. Because you think of what I'm talking about here, the number one guy that comes to mind is Matthias Ekholm. And right now, with the Predators in their situation, looking around in Chicago and Columbus and, you know, Dallas, which is playing with, you know, half an AHL lineup and has to play catch up here, it's like, what, you know, Nashville's got to be thinking, it's better for us to make the playoffs than just miss them. And they're in a primary position. They've rode goaltending there. They've got a bunch of guys injured that are going to come back. You know, unless they lose their next three games between now and Monday, I think, you know, Nashville is going to kind of hold firm here. And if that's the case, I don't know if you could find another defenseman on the market that would be appealing to the Canadiens to make a move, because I don't know if any of them are really an upgrade on what they already have.
I'll preface this by saying I still think he's a top goalie in the National Hockey League, and until he loses his number one starting spot or stinks it up in the playoffs, you know, with Carey Price, he's 3-1-1 in his last five games here. I know he's injured right now, but have you noticed an improvement in his game since the addition to Sean Burke as the goaltender instructor?
Yeah, you know, with the exception of one start he had against the Ottawa Senators, where the team was pretty bad in front of him, I think Carey Price has certainly buckled down and found his game, been the Carey Price we've come to know and expect to see. But, you know, the fact that he's been playing not at 100% for a while is a concern, especially with his long injury history and his long history of playing through injury and making things worse. It's like, at a certain point, the Canadians have to kind of intervene and just do something smart about this. This is a guy that's being paid $10.5 million a season. He's in year three of an $84 million contract. He's 33 years old. He's already been through a lot. You know, I know Ducharme said yesterday that whatever he's dealing with is not threatening to his season or his career, but if you keep allowing him to play at less than 100%, and look, every NHL player has pride and they have a certain desire to play and not make anyone feel as though they're being affected by this or that. And everyone goes through bumps and bruises and, you know, minor injuries at the very least, once you're at least 30 games into the season. But, you know, this guy's the franchise, and you brought Jake Allen in to get him rest, or at least more rest with the hectic schedule that they were going to face this year. And Allen is at a .922 save percentage, been excellent this year. So, you know, I just think the Canadians have to kind of proceed with caution here, get him as healthy as possible before he next gets into the net, and stop talking about a day or two of therapy and rest, and just, you know, make sure that he's coming in there with the best opportunity to be the player that everyone knows. Because if not, you know, you're kind of setting him up to be in a position where he gets criticized if he lets in a goal here or there, and he's not playing at 100%. So I don't see a win there if they keep playing him.
I'm with you, and this is the prime reason why they went out and got Jake Allen, to make sure Carey Price is good to go for the Stanley Cup playoffs. With Sportsnet's Eric Engels, Nick Alberga, Anthony Stewart, and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central. Make sure to tune in to Leafs Nation pregame tonight with yours truly and Gord Stellick coming up at 7. Dominic Ducharme, I like to put out the numbers following a coaching change on social media. 8-4-5 under Dominic Ducharme. What have you learned? What's different with this Montreal team since Claude Julien left?
Well, I think they've got full buy-in into what Ducharme is selling, and that's a close support, five men in the picture, Ken Hitchcock style of hockey. It's demanding. It's difficult. We'll see how well the Canadiens sustain it over what's a very aggressive schedule from here to the end. But, you know, this guy's a smart guy. He's a hockey guy, and he's got everybody's attention right off the hop. And usually it takes a while for a coach to kind of instill his new system and all the different technical changes that have gone on here. But, you know, this guy has a handle on it. And, you know, one of the biggest improvements, and obviously with the help of Alex Burrows, is the power play, which has been towards the top of the NHL since they took over. And that's quite a task, considering it was towards the bottom of the NHL and Claude Julien and Kirk Muller were let go of. So, you know, I think Ducharme is, you look at those overtime numbers, obviously they've influenced the record. They've turned it around with two wins in their last two opportunities, and the big one against Edmonton the other night, their first at 3-on-3 before getting to the shootout. And, you know, he's just chipping away at all the different areas to bring out the best in this roster, which is extremely deep. You know, got veterans and youth at both ends of it. And I think they're going to be a challenging team to play for anyone in this division from here to the end.
Yeah, it's almost unfortunate that their schedule is as condensed as it is, because, you know, just looking at winning percentage, you know, they're right there with Edmonton, Winnipeg, and it feels like there's more to get from this group still. What is your expectation in playoffs with this Canadiens team if they're a healthy group? Do you see them maybe as better than their position in the standings right now and maybe the most likely team to push Toronto? Am I taking that too far?
Yeah, Bourne, you know, I don't know if Spieth is good enough to win at the Masters if he can't hit the fairway. But
he's been in the mix in too many tournaments. He's played eight of the last 10. I think he's due for a letdown myself.
Sorry. You asked me about the Canadiens and the matchup against the Leafs. No, the schedule is, you know, it is what it is. They also had more rest than any other team in the division. Obviously, 1 week of it was not what they wanted or expected, with Joel Armia hitting the COVID list and contracting a variant of the virus. But look, you know, we'll see what happens here. I'm as curious as anybody in terms of how Vancouver's potential return to play changes the schedule in the North Division. I think if I were Mark Bergevin, I might be pushing the league to create some separation in some of those games in the schedule. If some things get reworked and they end up using more of that runway towards the end in that final week before the playoffs, I don't see a reason why the Canadiens wouldn't push for that, considering that tonight is, I guess it's 21 games and 34 nights. It's pretty intense. It's pretty
absurd.
Deep. There's five back-to-backs in there, and it's four games a week from here to the end, and that's tough. But at the end of the day, you know, everyone's had to squeeze in 56 into this, you know, determined period of time. It's been a challenge like no one has faced before. And as we said off the top, you know, playing the same teams over and over again, up to 10 times a season, that's a challenge unto itself. And we're going to see like six games between Montreal and Toronto from here to the end. It's really quite crazy. So, but do I see them as the, you know, the main competition? I had Montreal finishing second in this division at the beginning of the season, and I still think they have a chance to do that with the games in hand that they have, but they have to continue to play as well as they have under Ducharme from the start here.
Which player would you consider more surprising with their play this season, Tyler Toffoli or Corey Perry?
Joel Edmondson is the answer. No, because honestly, I mean, like, I didn't have Joel Edmondson leading the NHL in plus minus for most of the season. He's been so good, you know, no matter who he's played with. Tyler Toffoli, has he surprised me? Not really. I mean, his whole career, he's just been a goal scorer. That's what he does. And you put him around good players and smart players. And I think, you know, one of the biggest talents of the Canadiens up the middle with their youth and the type of skill sets they have is that they're really cerebral type players, whether it's Suzuki or Kotkaniemi or even Dano. So, you know, Toffoli has kind of been all over this lineup and he scored with whoever he's been with. And Toffoli is a really cerebral player himself. Perry has not surprised me just based on what he did in the bubble. I really thought he proved something not only to the hockey world, but to himself. And he came to Montreal very motivated and waited for his time, but he has just been, I think he's surprised a lot of people. I will say that. And I think he's been a revelation of sorts because he's playing 12 minutes a game and he's got 15 or 16 points on the season, but it's not just the point totals. It's that like every time you need a big goal, he's involved in it. And that's what you'd say about Corey Perry throughout his entire career. And, you know, I did a great piece. I think it was a great piece, but I did a piece speaking to Tyler Seguin and Andrew Cogliano, who played with Perry, obviously in Dallas, but Cogliano in Anaheim too. And it just talked about his attitude and the way he approached to the natural kind of downgrading from Hart Trophy winner to, you know, inevitably not being able to play in a primary scoring role. And yet, you know, this he never showed any kind of wear from that. Like he never never came to the rink sulking or this and that. And, you know, guys, sometimes guys just say things about guys they like, but these two were so genuine about what they were saying about Corey Perry, and his reputation precedes him of being just the ultimate teammate. And he's a winner for a reason. He's won everywhere for a reason. Like, this is just who this guy is.
And certainly that's been the theme, you know, with Mark Bergevin, especially last offseason, was bringing in some guys with pedigree and who have been there before. And certainly you look at some of these additions, I think they're going to be big, and to complement them with the younger type players. So, you know, last one for you, Cole Caufield, you know, what's the likelihood that, you know, when Montreal gets to playoffs, Cole Caufield's on that roster to start game one?
Likelihood, you know, I'll tell you, once he makes his NHL debut, he's going to make his pro debut in Laval on Friday. And look, my own personal belief on this player, because I've watched him play so much over the last couple of years, I think the minute this guy gets a chance to play in the NHL, he's never looking back. People see him as just the goal scorer. He is not just the goal scorer. He's got exceptional talent. He's really fast, really smart, really good playmaking ability. One of the things that I like most about his game is his ability to read where the play is going and be in constant motion at the right time. Totally different player, but one of the guys who I think does that exceptionally well is Evgeny Malkin. I always think of Malkin as being in this constant loop, ready to get the puck on his stick, like reading as soon as the transition is going to happen or before it's going to happen, and putting himself in the best possible spot to get the puck and go with it and take advantage of his speed. That's something that Caufield does so well, and his game has improved so much away from the puck. Tony Granato, his coach at Wisconsin, talked a ton about the fact that he was a target this year as a superstar player at the college level, and he drew five major penalties, four of which he was drilled in the head. And it wasn't just that he got up and kept going. He got up and scored 2-3 goals after that. So, like, the competitive drive and the ability of this player, it's all there. And the extra year of college did him so well. I just think if the Canadians give him a look, and I'm pretty sure they're going to, he's going to be a player that they can't turn away from when the playoffs start.
And supreme confidence at that. Before we let you go, a quick Masters picks here, Engels.
I like DJ to repeat. I don't know what people think of Koepka. I mean, it's pretty insane that he's even playing in this tournament, but you have to worry about him in a major. Can Scotty Scheffler potentially be a kind of sleeper? I like Charlie Hoffman also as a little kind of sleeper pick. You know, he's a guy that's always played well at Augusta, and he had a good week last week, and I would love to see him win. But Justin Thomas would be the fan favorite for me. Like, if that guy could break through and win there, it would be truly special. And I don't like Spieth's chance, just because, I don't know, you got to hit the fairway at Augusta if you're going to win there. So, and that's not his specialty right now, even though he's playing great and deserves all the credit for stepping it up.
All right, we'll leave it there. Eric, appreciate your time as always, and can't wait for this one and the Masters coming up starting tomorrow. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
Your thoughts, Borny, handicapping the Masters?
You know, I'm just looking at my my betting list here, Nick, and all I know is all the big names don't pay anything anyway, so I'm rooting for a bunch of weird golfers, like, you know, go Scotty Scheffler. That's all I got to say.
I'm rooting for Taylor Hall to win the Masters at the NHL level. And with that, guys, we'll hit the final break of the
show. Stalin in the league at minus 30. Sorry, carry on.
Oh, it's getting cold over there for sure. Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart. This is Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 of The Fan. All right, back to wrap here on Hockey Central. Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart, at which time I pit the biggest question of the show to date. And Stewie, we can start with you. Have you started Mighty Ducks Game Changers on Disney+?
No, I have not. But
will you be doing so?
Proponent. No, I'm watching this other one. It's with the figure skater and his and her hockey brother. I've actually watched a couple episodes.
On Netflix?
Yeah, but with my wife, and then she gives me the look, are you really watching this? And I'm like, no, then I have to turn it off. So I have to watch it in secret. So what's that show called again? I forget what it's called.
Borny, are you watching Mighty Ducks?
I don't know. Cutting Edge, Stu? Is that what it is that you said?
Cutting Edge or something
you,
like
you
that.
Got, you guys know what it's called. Come on.
No, I legit don't, but I just know there was a movie about a figure skater. I don't know. No, I don't have time to watch anything. I don't have I have no life. I don't know. But that's I do want to watch it. I at some point, the best thing that happens to me is I like get on an airplane and fly like 4 or 5 hours, and then I get to jam 5 hours of TV into my head or something. That'd be great.
Can't wait for that for five years from now, right? I just think it's so nostalgic. Gordon Bombay, just to have him back, I think is incredible. But it just the nostalgia was real.
How did we get him back? It's amazing.
Oh, it's I think there's a cameo by some of the guys later on, you know, in the series. They're only releasing one episode every Friday, but I'm all about it. I'm probably the only one all about it right now. I just can't wait every Friday to watch a new episode of Mighty Ducks, guys. Can't wait to see Montreal and Toronto tonight. Eric brought it up, and it's funny. Like there's six more meetings this season. A healthy dose of Montreal and Winnipeg, Borny, to wrap up this season.
Yeah, you wonder if it takes away from it a little bit, right? Like, I love how exciting it is for the Leafs and the Habs to play. Having to play six of your last 18 games against them, it's like, okay, that'll do. But it is good for the Leafs, I think, to play the better teams in the division down the stretch. You don't want to be, you know, getting seven games against the Senators in your final 10 heading into a playoff series against a much better hockey team.
And
yeah,
by the
they're
way,
only 6 points out. Yeah, and they're 6 points behind Winnipeg Jets, and they got four games in hand. So I know they're stuck in this fourth slot right now, too, but I would not be surprised if they're second pushing for first place in the division.
And Matty Marchese has the clutch factor for sure. It's called Zero Chill on Netflix. So there's the answer.
Great
show. He claims that his wife is watching it. We know Marchese's watching too, right? Come on.
Oh, that's a hard yes for sure he is. He's watching it during this show right now. That's my guess.
Yeah, you guys got to check out Mighty Ducks for sure, guys. It's been an absolute blast. I want to tee up as well. Gord Stellick and I will have Hockey Central on Monday as you guys, the big boys, do some TV coverage. But let's hope it's a busy deadline, right, guys?
Here's to hoping, man. It should be a lot of fun either way.
Thanks, Stu.
See you later.
Bye, Stewie. Many thanks to Matt Marchese, Dylan Brown, Lance Kennedy, and Eric Engels. For Justin Bourne and Anthony Stewart, I'm Nick Alberga. Make sure to check out Leafs Nation pregame tonight at 7. Take care.